So Jeff and I were now seasoned veterans of the road. We had been traveling together for, gosh, I don't know how long now, a couple weeks at least. And we're getting a little tired. You know, we'd done a lot of safaris. We'd done the Serengeti, and we flew to southern Tanzania. So two safaris there. And then we flew to Rwanda and, drove up to Uganda and saw the mountain gorillas in two different areas. And then we for our next thing we flew into Johannesburg on our way to Botswana, and we were going to another safari. So we were going to the Okavango Delta, which I had heard about from some of my dad's college friends, the Kuipers. They had showed me pictures and everything, and this delta did look just phenomenally beautiful. And so so when I planned this whole Africa trip out, I went a little crazy on the safaris, but hey, why not? Looking back on it, I probably would have added another one. I should have gone. We should have seen the chimpanzees. We should have done that. But anyway, okay, so here we go. October 23rd through the 24th. Flew to Mound and met our group. Gerd and Shell from Oslo. Egil from Oslo. Phil from England, works in the oil industry in Eastern Russia. And Mike from London. Good group. Then flew to Okavango Delta, very green and in the middle of nothing but dry. The largest untouched inland delta in the world. Got in these narrow dugout boats called Makoros and driven by a pole in the back. We pulled, driven or guided, he pulled us all over the place through grass, papyrus, lily pads, in between little islands that had elephants, red lechers, which are gazelle, giraffe. The water is only 2 to 5 feet deep, clean, and you can see right through to the sandy bottom. Tons of birds. Marabou crane, yellow bill crane, fisher eagle, kingfisher, which hovers and then strikes. Geese. Purple heron, egrets, great kingfishers, many, many others, and lots. And best of all, the Pell's fisher owl, huge alien-like black eyes, never seen anything like it. The days of going, 2 days of going in the Makoro and sleeping outside in tents. Great service and food. Mike and Phil tipped over and had to buy new camera gear. Big event so far. We also got out for a swim in a deep section. Flew back to Mound today on October 25th. And now we are driving to Moremi Reserve. October 25th through October 29th. Went to Moremi and Savuti Game Reserves. It was pretty slow going in Moremi. We set up our tents and had some good dinners and drinks around the campfire. We had a hyena in camp one night. The next night, a big elephant and a small adder, poisonous snake, under Gerd and Shell's tent the next morning. Most of the drives were around a river. A long river. Very pretty, but not much game. We did see some lions, a male with females, some with cubs, and a lone female eating a waterbuck. Also, a small crocodile with a goose in its mouth. Lots of crocs, hippos, and a lot of bird life, especially fish eagles. Drove 4 hours to Savuti yesterday. Very sandy road, almost got stuck a few times. Very sandy country here. In the afternoon game drive at Savuti, We saw a leopard in a tree with an impala, and then later we saw her take a steelbok up another tree in her mouth. We also saw her jump from one branch to another about 6 feet up. Incredible. We saw two big cheetahs. They were talking to the cubs far away. They make a bird-like whistle. Really weird. Had a big lightning storm that night, and a lion came to visit at night about 30 yards from our tent. I could hear her roaring, feel it more like it, also sighing and groaning. She was there for about 1 hour. The next day, no one but Jeff believed me, but the guide found the tracks and confirmed it. I did not need anyone to confirm it. It's not something you mistake. I could even hear lions from both directions from miles away answering her calls. Today we saw a lion pride with 3-week-old cubs. They were very, very small and bopping around. We also saw two big males attack a lone female. Sad, but interesting. Saw the leopard and the cheetah again. 2 more days left. It's an incredible experience, but I am getting tired. Looking forward to surfing. I need to get in shape. I've been eating too much and sitting on my butt. The group has been good and the conversations have been interesting. October 30th through November 3rd. Drove to Chobe and set up camp for the first time. Saw a lot of elephants with some small babies. Great sunset that night. Next day saw some big lions and went on a sundowner cruise on the river. Saw some great baboons, birds, and hundreds of elephants. It was really quite a sight to see all those elephants grazing on the grass as the sun went down. Picked up camp for the last time the next day and arrived in the something lodge in Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe. That afternoon, Vic Falls is very small and you are assaulted by the vendors as you walk around. Things are not so good in Zimbabwe these days. Went to see the falls in the afternoon. Very hot, very beautiful, but only running at about half capacity at the moment. Saw where they bungee jump. I was very tempted, but something told me not to do it. Don't like putting my life in the hands of people I don't know. That night, the group ate at Boma's, a traditional African place with tribal dancing and all the game we had been seeing. Weird to eat it. The warthog and ostrich were the best. Next day, Jeff and I rafted the Zambezi. Very pleasing and surprising way to end the trip. It was great. There were 20 plus rapids, 5 of which were class 5, the highest, and many more 4s and 3s. We only capsized once, and it was fun. I fell out another time. The water was the perfect temp. Also got to jump in and float at times with the crocs and all. On my way to Cape Town now. Just said goodbye to Jeff. It was great he could join me, and I think he really enjoyed it. Well, time to start the next adventure. Surfing in 2 weeks. Wow, so those journal entries have jogged a ton of memories. That was October 23rd to November 4th, or 3rd. So I am just going to try to, I will just talk about my memories. And, you know, it's the end of a working day here, so I'm not able to try to make this entertaining for the listener. All of my any writing skills that I have or literary skills I have are not with me at the moment. So I am just going to freeform my memories here. So we flew from Rwanda, Kigali, to Joburg, Johannesburg. And then we got on a plane from there, and I definitely remember that plane because, and by the way, we were flying from Joburg, South Africa to Mon, Botswana, which is the capital of Botswana, I believe. And I remember getting in this plane, and it was this old Soviet Union plane. It was white, and it was like falling apart, and it was the weirdest looking thing I'd ever seen. It was a jet, but unlike any jet that we'd ever seen. And as you know, as you're sitting in this thing, you're just like, oh my God, I mean, I hope it still works. So there must have been some connection with Botswana and the Russians, the Soviets, back in the Cold War. But so anyway, we met this group, and we were on another safari. And this time, we had a couple guides, and they had a couple of, well, I think we only had one vehicle and a big trailer. And every night, we would set up our tents, just like Jeff and I had done on the Serengeti in Tanzania. And this was kind of fun because, you know, we had a group to be with. So I remember that we had to also take a very tiny plane from Mon to the Okavango Delta, which, you know, always scares the shit out of me. But it was such a beautiful area. You fly, it's all very dry in Botswana. It's like sandy. It's the desert. And by the way, they discovered diamonds in Botswana. So Botswana was doing A-okay. Not like it would look nice, you know? I mean, people's homes that we saw weren't anything special. They were kind of like in the sticks. But people didn't have, you know, they were, as a country, they were not destitute. And they had done a very good job preserving their wildlife. And that's why it was on the wealthy Westerner circuit. But this delta is, if you've ever seen Planet Earth, they show it, and that's where they have the wild dogs in the Planet Earth episode. And what happens is, you know, when it rains up in the north, all the water flows down south into this huge delta. And the water is filtered through the grass and the sand, and it's just crystal clear. And anyway, I remember when we got off our small plane and they picked us up and they drove us to our little camp, that by then, you know, the folks we were with, it was their first safari. And Jeff and I were like, you know, they would stop the truck for like these gazelle, you know, and Jeff and I are just like, you know, another gazelle, big deal, you know, or a giraffe, or, you know, we were like, we'd seen it all by then. We were veterans. Show us something exciting. But what we would do at this camp is they would take us in these little narrow wooden boats. So there'd be two of us and then a guy in the back, and he had a pole, and they would push us through this delta, and you would see. Thankfully, we didn't see any hippos, because that was very dangerous. Actually, if you see a hippo in the water, you're basically dead, because don't get between a hippo and water, or you will be dead, because they are mean and they will kill people, because the water is their sanctuary and they will not stand for anything to be threatening to them. But anyway, we didn't see any hippos, thank God. But we saw elephants and giraffes, and they'd all be on these little islands that you'd float by, and there were tons of birds. That was the thing about the delta. All this incredible bird life, and these kingfishers, they just hover above the water, and then they'd strike something, and we saw this really cool owl that we had to walk to it because they discovered it from afar, and it had these like huge black eyes, and I remember learning about the local bark and everything that was kind of like, you know, had medicinal properties like aspirin, and learning about all that. And then those two guys, Phil and Mike, fell in there. They were kind of big guys, and they tipped over the Mokoro and out they went. And it's all pretty exciting. And swimming around there where they fell out, it was really cool just to go in there, and the water was so clear. And anyway, then we took that little tiny plane out back out again, and they had to ferry us because there's only room for like two or three of us, so, you know, you had to take turns. But then we drove to a couple different parks, and like I mentioned, the first one wasn't too exciting, but you know, we did see some lions there and more birds, that Murami, and then that Savuti was really cool. And I forget if this was Murami or Savuti, but having that elephant come into camp at night was pretty exciting. And everybody got out of their chairs. We're all sitting around the campfire, and this elephant, I think, had kind of come up to the table where we had food, and he was having a little buffet. And, you know, the guides got up and we all got up and we're like trying to shoo it away and everything. You know, elephant doesn't really care much about people our size. But a hyena came into camp one night, and then but that Savuti was pretty neat. We saw some really cool stuff there. The leopard was way cool because it was this beautiful leopard. He just looked at you, and I have great photos of him. But we saw him climb up the tree with a gazelle in its mouth, and this gazelle is like three times its size, and this cat just jumps up the tree and like it's nothing. I mean, the strength of this animal is really something. And he sits up in that tree and he's got this antelope up in the tree. They stash their food up there. So it's kind of like this morbid sight. You got this beautiful creature up there, and then you've got this, you know, this antelope and its legs are hanging over and it's, you know, it's dead. And but we saw these cheetahs, which are my favorite. And they were big, healthy-looking cheetahs, and you could see them so clearly because they were contrasted with the sand and the desert. And but they were talking to their cubs in the bush, and they talked like birds. And then when we saw those lions with their little babies, like 3 weeks old lion cubs, that was cool because they were just, you know, bouncing around, and it was very pretty. It was really early in the morning, and I just remember setting up these camps. We'd set up our tent, and I remember one time there was a baboon there. And these baboons, it's really weird. They, like this guy would look at us, but if you looked at him in the eye, his nervous habit was to grab his you-know-what and start like fondling it. It was really weird. And but the exciting thing on one of those nights was this lioness came and sat next to our tent, like about 30 yards away, and you could hear it. I mean, your imagination goes wild, and you know, you're thinking about the guides telling you, "Oh, they can't distinguish between you and the tent, so you're safe." And but I mean, that really tests your faith, let me tell you. And Jeff was like just not even snoring, but breathing too loudly. I had to like wake him up, because I was afraid that he would, that, you know, this lioness would come in our tent. It was pretty freaky, and you could hear it calling, you know, like to its its kin, you know, like a mile away, and you could hear its you know, other lions responding to it. And something else we saw on that trip were these, a female lion crossed her territory. And what they figure happened is, as a group, they crossed. And for whatever reason, she got left behind or was the only one who didn't make it out. Maybe she was attacked. And there were these two male lions. And we saw this face-off of this female facing off against these two males. And she had this just vicious look on her face, and she was making these gnarly, just, you know, baring her teeth. And these males were essentially slowly killing her. They would, and we didn't see them strike her, but they had before we got there. And everybody was like, "What can you do?" You know, asking the guide, you know, "Should we do anything?" And, you know, and the guide said, "Hey, you know, no, it wouldn't be wild if we did," which I always thought was pretty interesting. What else? We saw a lot of cool stuff. Oh, then we went to Chobe, which is another park in Botswana, and it's on this big river, and it's all about the elephants. And one night there, we did this. They're always big on the sundowners, so you go park the Jeep somewhere and the sun sets and you have a cocktail, which we had done at the Southern Tanzania too. But I remember we saw this lion family walking, and, you know, a ways, and walk right past us. And then we got out right there and watched the sun go down, and like the birds were the swallows were, you know, flying over, and there was this huge ball of orange as the sun set. It's just really pretty. And anyway, just memories, a lot of memories from Botswana. It was really beautiful. And then we were done. Then we ended up in Zimbabwe, and we went to the falls, which are gorgeous, but there wasn't a lot. There was probably like half full, but still pretty, very pretty. And then we did that, Jeff and I did that rafting trip down the Zambezi River, and that was something because those rapids were huge. I mean, anything you've done in California, multiply that by like five, you know, or more, and just huge rapids, you know, and you're seeing this thing come at you, and you're like, how the hell are we going to get through that? And one of them, we didn't, you know, I mean, we just knocked us on out of the raft. And there's crocodiles in that river, so it's kind of weird, like you're out of the raft and there's crocodiles in there. And they have this huge bridge there, and some people were bungee jumping, and I decided maybe not the best place to do it. But one thing, a couple just random stories. So with that Mike and Phil, we would play cards every night. And this Phil guy was a really funny guy from England, and he worked in the oil industry as an accountant in Sakhalin. And this is a big Russian concession with Exxon. And so he worked for Exxon and made a ton of money, but he had to live in Sakhalin. So he was kind of like a mercenary kind of, in a way, you know. But anyway, we had fun. But I remember getting so upset at them because I am not the fastest thinker, and I'm not very quick at cards. And they had made some comments about it, and I felt really bad about myself. And it's just one of those learning things, you know, where you learn a lot about yourself when you travel, because you put yourself in different situations than you normally do. And anyway, I remember getting all upset about that, but I was so insecure. Anyway, now, you know, just a learning lesson. There's no point really in getting insecure is the way I feel about it. But another story about Botswana, or actually Zimbabwe. When we got to Zimbabwe, it was very poor, much more poor than we had seen in Botswana. Kind of similar to those shanty towns in Africa, but maybe even in Tanzania, but maybe even a little worse, because you know, more of a city, and the economy was just in tatters, as it still is. Mugabe and all that. But so people were really hawking their wares. And, you know, Jeff was returning home, and he wanted to get some stuff for his girlfriend and his girlfriend's kids and his nephews and niece. And so they have all these little, like, carved animals out of wood, you know, like giraffes and everything. And, ebony bowls and, cloth and pictures and blah, blah, blah. And so I'll never forget, this little guy was just really aggressive with Jeff. And for like 2 days, they negotiated, they haggled. And what was on the table were Jeff's shoes, the ones he had purchased in Arusha, Tanzania. You know, there was nothing special about these shoes. They were tennis shoes that were almost falling apart. But this kid was so poor that what was on, you know, so there was money being discussed for these wares, and the shoes were the kicker that was going to put the deal over the edge. And I was telling Jeff, I'm like, dude, how can you do that to this guy, you know? But he was a willing player in all this, and he kept chasing Jeff around for 2 days. And so finally they did a deal, and Jeff got all the crap, you know, his souvenirs, and the kid got some money and Jeff's worn out shoes, but were new to this kid. So when you think about your financial situation and you worry about it, think about that. And anyway, so that was the end of our trip. And it was really sad because Jeff and I really had a great time, and we got along really well, except for when we argued about Microsoft being Monopoly. We saw so many cool things that so few people will ever see, and we saw them together. And, you know, I always remember sitting around the campfire or at the end of the day having a beer, killy time, as we'd call it, or having cocktails with the other folks on our trip. And just the stuff we saw, the beauty and the wildlife was just, you know, words really don't do it justice. It was truly special. And but Jeff had a great time, and he was ready to get home. And you know, I think we were both ready to move on. We'd seen a lot, and I was moving on to the next portion of my trip, which was all about learning how to surf.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.